Hi, everybody. My name is Sherry. I'm from Louisville, Kentucky. I'm a food addict and a compulsive overeater, and I'm really grateful to be here today. A big part of my recovery is giving service, and to be asked to speak at a meeting is a big honor and a great way to give back what I've been so freely given. I've taken notes to read off of, and it's a good thing I did because I'm having life on life's terms today, and my mind's sort of scattered from some things that are going on today. But I'm gonna do the best I can to tell my story. I'll tell what it was like, what happened, and what it is like now. To say what it was like, I started eating at a very early age. I mean, I was still in preschool, nursery school, kindergarten, when I was overeating or using food to make me happy. I think I was just born this way. And I had a grandmother that loved to cook and loved to feed me. And I associated her love with that food, and I started replacing the love that I wasn't getting in my house with food. And I would sneak it even when I was in early grade school, first grade, I was sneaking food. And what was going on in the house was this same grandmother caused tension between my mother and my father, and there was that tension that I was dealing with. It would make my mother depressed, so she wasn't as available. And I had another sibling, a brother, that was getting a lot of attention, and I wasn't getting the attention from them. So I was using food quite a bit. And even at a young age, some in grade school, I can remember eating food and it being noticed. It wasn't just like I was eating the food out of the freezer. I would open the other end of the carton, hoping they wouldn't see the food being taken out of there. But it was other things that would be very obvious, but I couldn't worry about that. It was just going to have to be obvious, and I'd let my brother get blamed for it. And I owed him an amends when I came around to being in this program. In first grade, we had a weigh-in in school, and I remember being the heaviest kid in the classroom and being very ashamed about that. I remember my mother taking me in to downtown Louisville to buy clothes at the only store that had clothes that would fit me, and she was not happy about it because she called them matronly, and that was not a good situation for me. When I was 10 years old, they took me to a doctor that put me on diet pills, and that didn't really help me. At 11, I was in a pay and weigh program that I stayed in on and off through high school. And when I look back at high school pictures, I'm really not that overweight, but I thought I was. And it affected my relationships in high school. I never felt as good as the other person, and I was comparing my outsides with their outsides, my insides with their outsides. In high school, I was hiding food in my room. I would ride down to the convenience store on my bike and get food or steal food from relatives' house and hide it. And there were places that I was keeping wrappers and it was just unmanageable, but it's the best that I could do, and it's all that I knew to do. And then I went away to college and I started abusing laxatives. And I was taking so many of them that I was having trouble getting rid of the packages in any way that people wouldn't notice. But I made it through high school, I mean, through college, still eating a lot of food and using these laxatives. I graduated, I had a job. I was very happy that I could finally live on my own without other people and would quit having to hide food. But that didn't mean that I stopped eating the food. I just kept bringing it home to my home where I didn't have to hide it. But I was eating more and more and more. and it was getting to be bigger and bigger binges. It would be that I was eating all the time that I wasn't working. And when I was working, all I was doing was thinking about eating. I'm sure I could have been a better employee had I not been so distracted. And it was always the mantra of, oh, this is the last time I'm going to do this. Tomorrow I'm going to start a diet. All of those things that we tell ourselves, all the insanity. And then I would just say, I can't change myself. Why bother? I can't do this. I can't stay on a diet. Why bother? And I just wouldn't try anymore. And I just didn't try anymore until I worked myself up to almost 200 pounds overweight. And my doctor was very concerned. And I went to the doctor and lost some weight with him, but not in a healthy way. I was been having binge days and using laxatives and diuretics to help keep the weight down or get it off. It was just very sick, and I was very sick doing it. It was something that I couldn't keep up for the rest of my life. So what I started to do, and I was spending tons of money on food, and I started going to therapists to try to get well. And finally, one therapist suggested that I go to OA. I didn't know anything about OA. This was in the days before it was talked about a lot, or that there were 12-step programs for people with food issues. And I didn't really know anything about AA, so I really didn't know what to expect. And all the meetings that she told me about were in churches, and I'm Jewish, and that just sort of was fearful for me to have to go to a church. I didn't, and not knowing that this wasn't a religious program, I didn't know what was going to happen. So I would go to these meetings and I would sit in the car and I wouldn't go in. I would keep going and not going in. And then one day I was at a singles group where a person there talked to me about how she was concerned about how my weight was going up and that she had been to a program, and she starts to tell me about OA. And she offered to go with me to take me to a meeting, which she did. And she obviously had been to OA before. I saw her. I mean, people saw her there and knew her and talked to her, but I never saw her in another meeting ever again after that. And it was just like this was an angel that my higher power sent to me that got me to the meeting, got me inside of a room, helped make me comfortable so that I could hear the experience, strength, and hope that other people had to offer, and that I could hear my story. And it's so important now for me to make newcomers comfortable and to reach out to them, because that's the only thing that kept me coming back in the beginning, not feeling alone and not having to do it by myself, knowing that people were there. You know, like it says, let us love you until you can love yourself. And I did not love myself when I walked into those meetings, and it took me many, many, many years to start to love myself enough that I could do this one day at a time. One meeting I went to, they were very social outside of meetings, and I started doing things with them, and that gave me a focus of things to do, how to be a normal person again, because I had become so isolated and just eating all the time, and I wasn't socializing. And this gave me a way to go to dinner with other people to see how they ate, and just to talk to people about how they live life on life's terms. I went to meetings. I just sort of hung around meetings. I didn't work the steps. I didn't get a sponsor. And I felt like I was different than them. I had that terminal uniqueness because I was bigger than the other people in the rooms. And I didn't know that they would totally understand me. And I wasn't willing at that point to give up certain foods. Today, I know that I have certain foods that are trigger foods for me that I cannot eat even in small quantities. And I had contempt prior to investigation, like the big book talks about. I didn't want to try it. I just said, this is impossible. I won't be able to do that. How can I give up that food for the rest of my life? And so what happened is I wasn't getting abstinent because I wasn't taking the suggestions that people gave me, but I did keep coming back because I was getting something there that I wasn't getting anywhere else, and that was the love and the acceptance. And I was hearing people talk about what was working for them. And somebody talked about acting as if, and it's what I had to do. I had to start acting as if the suggestions that I heard would work for me, and I had to start taking action on those. And today, I hear in the program about the three A's: awareness, acceptance, and action. And that's what happened. I had the awareness of what was wrong, and I finally accepted those things. Step one, powerless over food, my life is unmanageable. And then I took action and I did start working the steps. I got a sponsor and things started to change. I got a food plan and I was working that food plan. It wasn't a very strict food plan. At first, it just got food into meals instead of eating all day long. And then I started to weed out trigger foods and it got more boundaries to it and got more doable for me. That first sponsor I had was a good sponsor. She was very gentle. I needed that. I think I may not have kept coming back if she had been more strict. And I knew if I didn't keep coming back to meetings, even when I was struggling, that the way I ate just on my own without program, I would be over 500 pounds and dead physically, emotionally, and spiritually. I started to have connections to other people, and that was something that was missing. And I did a number of fourth and fifth steps over that period of time, which really helped me learn how to live life and love myself more and love others more and hate less. And it was just a blessing to be in this program and to learn that I have a disease, that I'm not a bad person, and that's what I'd been led to believe, that that I was bad because I by my family, because of my weight. I'm a sick person trying to get well, and I do that on a daily basis, one day at a time. Today, what it's like, I've been abstinent for about, I don't track it, about 5 years now. I have a food plan that I text into my sponsor, and I appreciate that my sponsor is here today to help support me. When food starts talking to me, I've learned to repeat slogans that help me, like one bite is too many and 1,000 bites are not enough. Or if I have a problem and I eat over it, then I have two problems. Those things, the slogans and saying prayers to have the willingness and the ability to not take the first compulsive bite, really helped me take that pause, that spiritual pause that I need to give my higher power a chance to step in and keep me from taking that first compulsive bite. And then I'll pick up tools like a piece of literature, or I might call somebody whatever tool is easiest, depending on where I am, if I would be home or somewhere else. And then, if the feeling hasn't gone away, I pick up a different tool and use that. So there's ways that I can work through without picking up. And I believe that if I do the things that are possible every day, not just when I'm having those food thoughts, but every day, like having prayer and meditation and using the tools and working the steps, that my higher power does what is impossible. And for me, that's being abstinent. It was impossible for me to be abstinent on my own. And with God's help, I can do that. And it's just wonderful to have that peace and serenity around food that I didn't have, and not to be in a food fog all the time, and to just be able to experience the moment it being peace, having peace and serenity, rather than terror and remorse and everything else that I was always feeling. I've been retired for about almost 10 years now, and I thought that it was always work that was a stressor that was adding to my compulsive overeating. But when I quit compulsively, when I quit working, when I retired, I learned that I was still a compulsive eater, you know, that it doesn't matter what's going on in my life. I'm going to pick up the food just because it's there, or just because I think about it and it becomes an action. And today I know that my thoughts don't have to be my actions. I go to about 5 meetings a week. I don't go to in-person meetings anymore since COVID, but I go to telephone and Zoom meetings, and those really help me. And I try to do service at every meeting that I'm at, and service is a big part of my program. It keeps me on the plane of doing God's will for me. And when I'm doing God's will for me, which is not to harm myself with food and to repay what I've been given so freely in this program, I get to continue to be abstinent. I get that gift one day at a time. This is a one day at a time program for me. If I think about it more than one day at a time, it becomes too overwhelming. I do a 10th step every day. I do it right now. I'm not writing it. Sometimes I've done long written ones. I've done short written ones, the AEIOU type, or I just do checks in my head. And that's basically what I've been doing right now. I've become more honest, both with myself and with others. But it amazes me how much I lied to myself about how much I was actually eating. You know, if I didn't finish the whole bag, then I hadn't binged. There could have been one thing left in that bag, but I hadn't binged. I practice HALT, not becoming too hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, to keep me away from that first compulsive bite. And I take my service and usefulness outside of the program to my family and friends. I try to practice the principles. I maybe don't use all of them daily, but I'm using them in my life, and it gets me to a place where I'm better connected and have better relationships and just better days than I ever had when I was in the food. You know, this is a spiritual program, and that's the difference for me between this and what it was when I was going to diet programs. My illness is more than just the food, and I have to treat the body spiritually, emotionally, and physically. I can't really tell how much time I have. I don't have very much. Before OA, I was just going through the motions of life. And today, I live each moment. And I hated to get up each day, and now I get up without any issue, and I'm grateful to get up. I have a gratitude partner I exchange gratitudes with every day, and just being alive is one of my biggest ones. And I'm 67, and there was a point I didn't think I would make it to that age, and I'm grateful that I have, and I'm grateful to be here. With that, I want to thank everybody. Thank you.